Hello and welcome back to Finding the Funny. Here we are with another episode.
Hey, I'm Ruth.
And I'm Ange. And as always, we start with the big question. Ruth, Ange, I have a big question. What the fuck is with Stacey Solomon's baths? Are you into baths? Would they be like Stacey's? You two crack me up. Hashtag finding the funny for life. Kathy.
I can't believe we dropped an F-bomb. I mean, I blame Kathy for that. We haven't even got to a minute and we're already giving it.
What? I think this is just part of us now, Pats.
Yes.
I think we've settled in. We've bedded in. We've done a bed in.
I worry, though, that if we're steaming towards the C word at this rate.
I think if anyone's going to, it's going to be you.
I nearly dropped it then, but I won't. I very nearly just thought, why not? Let's just say it. Let's put it out there. Anyway, back to Kathy's question. What the fuck is with Stacey Solomon's baths?
Yes. As soon as I saw that big question from Kathy, I was like, yes, Kathy. Because I watch her baths.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what's with the petals and shit?
Yeah.
Like, just put the water in, chuck in a few bubbles, get in.
Yeah. I only bathe when we go to luxury hotels with James.
Oh yeah, you go, but you become Solomon with your baths and hot hotels.
No, I've never put in petals and shit in it.
I think you might if they were there. If we were in some posh establishment and there were petals for your
bath. No, I pick a bath bomb.
They're shit as well. I hate those things.
What?
They just make the water go all disgusting. And
I would pick a bath bomb. No. I've often got a bath bomb, especially in when I go for a bathe at James's luxury hotels.
What, you take one with you?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh
what? Yeah.
Big time of shit.
I reckon you are Solomon, actually.
No, I don't do I think she goes too far with the petals.
I saw her doing one the other day. She's putting like great big green petals in her bath.
Yeah. I know.
Do you think she actually gets in the bath? I think that's just all done for the gram.
No, I think she gets in it.
Can't be doing with it. Really pisses me off.
It pisses me off. I find it too much.
The other thing is, why does she have so much shit around the bath? She puts that like board thing and then she'll put like a couple of vases with leaves in them. And a candle and a champagne flute with Diet Coke in it. And I'm like,
it's to create the ambiance.
Wow.
Bollocks to the ambiance. That's what I
fuck off the ambiance. That's what I'm saying. I just don't get it.
You know, the other thing that I found with Solomon, which I think, look, we've discussed this before. I'm often one for a mistake.
Yeah.
Every single post she puts up, there's at least 3 spelling errors.
Yeah. And actually, Hinch Clinch, a few of hers.
Not as many as Solomon, though.
No, but they both do, you know, they've got problems with spelling, I think.
Okay, so we're with you, Kathy.
Yeah.
What the fuck is with Stacey Solomon's baths?
Yeah.
We think they're horseshit too.
Yeah.
Okay, second big question. I have quite an opinion on this.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, hit me.
Dear Ruth and Ange, how do you feel about unread emails and notifications on your home screen? I leave them now mainly to piss my boyfriend off. He gets so annoyed, Maggie.
Great question.
I hate it.
I know you do.
I absolutely... Dad, the other day, he had 6,000 unread emails on his phone.
Patty, should I tell you that I'm up to 10,000?
You're a dick. You're an absolute fucking dickhead. You're having a cheese and pineapple hedgehog at your parties, and don't tell me you're not, because you are.
You know what? It does not bother me in the slightest. I reckon I've probably got about 100 unread WhatsApps.
100 unread WhatsApps?
Also, do you get, are you on the old LinkedIn shit? Which is shit.
No, bollocks.
I'm well, like... I am. And I've got 57 sitting on there.
Yeah.
I do not care. I don't give a shit. That little thing can sit there with the numbers. I don't care. Hey, Ange. Hey, Ruth. Thanks for getting me through my night shifts with your podcast. It really does make my shitty job go quicker. Surely, though, we need more than one a week. It is just so good.
I've had loads of messages saying people want more than one a week.
Have you, Patty?
Yeah. I tell you what, the time this bastard thing takes to edit, I can piss right off.
Anyway, what I want to know is, which animal would you compare yourself to and why? Thanks for the laugh. Can I be your Bezzy, Julie? I think really the question I have back for you, Julie, is, do you think we are 5 years old? Like, why are you asking us what animal would we compare ourselves to?
I actually think that's quite a solid question.
Do you know then what animal you would be?
Yeah, a puppy. Yes, easily excitable, hates it when people leave me, pisses everywhere.
Okay, I mean, now I'm thinking about it. It's actually
a good question. Good question.
Apologies, Julie, for implying that it wasn't. I actually think I'd be like a hyena or something.
Really?
Because, you know, constantly laughing, you know, love a laugh.
Yeah.
It can be like a crazy ass shit at times.
Yeah, but you're not annoying.
I don't think hyenas annoying.
Yeah. They're not annoying. They are. They're dickheads, mate.
No, but they just go, like, you know.
Do you know what I would pick? Do you know what I'd pick for you?
What?
A dolphin.
A dolphin?
Yeah.
Why is that?
Well, you know, I would say that you would, that you, you know, you're quite playful, you love adventure, like, joyful, fun.
Oh, okay.
Honestly, I would put... hyena, no, mate. You're too pretty to be a hyena.
Oh, pitch shame.
True, mate. True that. I'd say I'd put you... I'm definitely a puppy.
Okay, yeah.
Very easily excitable. Go nuts when people come. I'm like, yeah, people, yeah. And can get quite annoying. You know, people are like, you know, when a puppy's cute to start off with, and then you're like, fuck off. Stop pumping my leg. That's a bit of me. I would say you're a dolphin.
Okay. I do like swimming as well.
Yeah. You're big into, you know, I was just about to call you an amphibian, but then dolphins aren't amphibians, are they?
Oh, I get confused with what's what.
Okay. Well, anyway, Julie, I think that's quite a good question. I'd be a puppy. Yeah. I think Ange would be a dolphin. Dear Ruth and Ange, I was just wondering, who was it that supported and helped you through your infertility journeys? How did your siblings respond? How did your parents respond? And how were your friends around this issue?
For people that don't know, I fell pregnant with my son relatively easily, had a pretty good normal pregnancy, had him, no issue at all. Fell pregnant again, but then miscarried, and then took quite a few, I think it was about, I mean, not years, but a good like 9-10 months before I fell pregnant again. It took us definitely a lot longer to fall pregnant the second time than it had with Joel, which I think that's the thing, because if it happens relatively easy first time, you just expect that that's going to happen again, and then, you know, it doesn't. And then obviously then, you know, miscarrying was, it was a horrible thing to go through. And, you know, I know it happens to lots of women. You know, for me, it only happened once, and you know, I feel for women that, you know, happens time and time and time again. I just don't know how you cope with that, really. All of my family and Ian's family were absolutely great and so supportive and so kind, and friends as well. And then, probably in my sort of late 30s, that's when I started going through an early menopause. Took a long time to really figure out that's what was going on. Eventually, yeah, saw the old fanny doctors.
Did he not say, yes, Andrea, you're going through the early menopause, your vulva's as dry as the Sahara?
Well, he bloody could have, because he's been bloody hot on. Bloody hell.
I've got a story to tell you about mum's vulva. I went to see mum today, and she's obviously using the exercise bike that dad got her for her birthday. Yeah. I said, mum, how are you getting on the bike? She said, oh yeah, you know, I'm doing all right, it's okay. Oh, but Ruth, it doesn't half make my garden sore. And I absolutely cracked up. She said, I thought it was going to break in two as I got off the other day. I'm absolutely pissing myself. She said, I've thought all sorts. I mean, and then she said to me, do you think if I put a flannel in there, that would help? And I said to her, this is going in the podcast. What I will just quickly say on secondary infertility is that I think secondary infertility, obviously any type of infertility is hard, but I actually think secondary infertility is really played down.
Oh,
and people feel incredibly guilty. But actually, the problem with secondary infertility is I don't have to be part of the mummy club.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Lots of people feel guilty for grieving secondary infertility, but actually, you can't take yourself out of those conversations, and that's really, really bloody hard. Okay, so for those of you who don't know our story or my story, Matthew and I have been on a bit of a journey to try and grow our family for the last 8 years. We had a very, very early miscarriage back when we first started trying. I think we both probably still think about that child and what could have been. But in the last kind of probably year or so, we've really come to a sense of peace that probably birth children aren't going to be part of our story. And although that sounds like I'm, you know, sat over on our podcast saying that in a really kind of throwaway way, it's been a very painful journey at points, and infertility is something that I think scars you for your whole life. But we have definitely found a new peace in letting that desire for birth children go. And we're getting to the stage where we're thinking we don't always get what we want, or our family doesn't always look like we thought it would. And that's okay. That's okay.
Ruth and I was wondering, what's the latest buzzword that you hate? Mine's everything with super put in front of it, you know, super lovely, and they're just super smart. I know it shouldn't annoy me, but it just gets right on my tits. The other one is literally said in an American accent, you know, literally. My brother-in-law is from Vegas. Every second line from him and my niece has the word literally in it. Thanks in advance, Kirsty. That is annoying.
That literally is
brilliant. Literally.
It's brilliant, isn't it?
And really annoying.
Do you know, I'm sort of a bit with Kirsty on this. Right, I'm going to bring up another grammar here.
I know you're going to say.
I've actually unfollowed her now. I know loads of people like her, and I know that this is maybe going to go down like a sack of shit. But Jacqueline Josser... Oh, good God. If she does another super cute in the style range, I'm going to go insane. So obviously during lockdown, she was trying her clothes on herself. Like, so she wasn't in photo shoots and she was just Instagramming it.
Yeah.
She put every single dress she put on. You know, guys, it's just super, super cute. It's super, 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 super stretchy. It's super, super flattering. You can just team it with a bag and a pair of white trainers, and then, you know, if you want to dress it up for the evening, you can put a heel on. Honestly, guys, it is super, super flattering, super, super lightweight, super, super comfy. Super, fuck off, Jacqueline. Honestly.
I remember you telling me about that, and then I watched her and was like, oh my God, yeah, she is supering everywhere. Surely there are other words she can use to describe things. Why does everything have to be super, super?
Like, I know Jacqueline Josser is loved by a lot of people, like Mrs. Hinch, like Stacey Solomon.
She is quite annoying.
That's super, super shit.
But even not, but just, I was watching, I mean, you're obviously not following her now, but I was watching her do all these stories the other day and I was like, oh, just bore off.
Also, she splits up with Dan Osborne one more time. Oh my God.
They're off, they're on, they're off, they're on. He's back, she's left, she's gone to her parents, they've gone back.
Anyway, and also, you've got a word that you hate in American accent.
I do, yeah. When Americans say, I'm going into this store because I've got a coupon.
And what would be your annoying buzzword, Ange?
The first one I thought of was when people say, I think let's take this offline. Fuck off, like what? Like you're, especially at the moment where everything's happening online. So everyone's on a shitty meeting and then someone goes, sorry, Sandra, we'll take this offline. That really annoys me, that shit. And the other shit that annoys me, business-wise, is the use of breakout rooms. Like either the whole virtual thing saying, we'll do this, we'll set up a couple of breakout rooms. Or if you actually go, you know, when in the days of being able to actually go to meetings and you turn up to an all-day meeting and you know there'd be shitty breakout rooms left and centre. That really gets on my tits as well.
I once heard this guy in Costa, this obviously when we were allowed out, he was on the phone, obviously on a business meeting, and I actually heard him say, no, Christine, there needs to be a lot more backing and forthing on that. I need to say to him, what? We've got to do backing and forthing on that. Yeah, no, we're going to get to some end results once we've done the backing and forthing.
End result. I mean,
end result. There's loads of office.
There's loads of businessy shit things like that. Yeah. That really get on. Some real strategic thinking.
Oh, yeah. It's a big one.
Oh, it just really.
Strategic thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of.
A little bit off the business sort of end of things, which I know is a big thing to say for a while. It is what it is. That really gets on my tits as well. Yeah.
What about people who say, there's a couple actually that you've now triggered in me. What about when people say, in that sense? In what sense? You know, we did that last Thursday in that sense. What do you mean? Like, what
do you mean? In that sense?
The other one. What people say either, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or does that make sense? Because there are some people who literally say that at the end of every sentence.
That is true.
So next Tuesday, if you could set up that Zoom meeting for 3 till 4, does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yes,
of course it does.
Easy thing to do. Are you going to be able to make it into the office? Does that make sense? Like, yeah, I mean, but there's a lot of office bullshit chat, isn't there?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll take this offline. Oh, God.
Isn't that just another way of saying, though, shut the fuck up in this meeting?
Exactly. Stop talking about this now, Karen. Please be quiet. We're going to take this offline.
The other one that I think is brilliant in an office setting, so I think that the words okay, great are the office fuck off. So when you're talking to somebody and they go, okay, great, that's basically them going, shut the fuck up. You know, they may as well turn around and go, why are you still stood at my desk trying to have a conversation? I've said okay, great. That basically means fuck off.
Don't you find as well? like all the ways you can sign off an email. You can't regard your best wishes.
Yeah.
Someone just put best.
I quite like a best.
I know, but when you think about what you're putting, you're saying best. I just don't understand it.
Hang on. Back this up here. Because now I feel like a prick. Because I use best, because you said that's what you sign off with. And the 7-year-old in me still wants to copy everything you do. There will forever be a 7-year-old girl in me going, what's Ange having for breakfast? Well, Mum, what's that? No, did Ange have Weetabix? I want cornflakes then. Well, there aren't enough cornflakes. Well, I want cornflakes because Ange likes cornflakes. So I am easily swayed by you.
I think the thing is, I start thinking, what am I writing? And I think all of those shitty sign-offs are just shitty sign-offs. Okay.
Well, in future, when you have those thoughts, can you share them with me? Because I probably copied you.
I will. I'll make sure I notify you, Pat.
Everything you say and do, Ange, what you've got to partly remember, like I say, is there is a 7-year-old trapped in me copying you at any given turn. Yeah. I will forever look up to you and be slightly in awe of you. You change your email sign-off from best because it's pricks that do that. You've got to notify me, okay?
I promise from now on I will notify you of any change.
What do you put at the end? Because I need to change mine.
I try not to read. I just try and just go Ange at the end.
Shit.
Yeah, I'm done with that. Kind regards, best wishes, best. With regards.
What about a thanks?
Yeah, I don't mind a thanks. But then sometimes that doesn't really work, does it?
What? Depends
what your email's about.
I suppose if you're asking to take it offline, you're not saying thanks. Maybe just start finishing with an okay, great.
Yeah, that's what I would like to finish with. Yeah. I mean, I'd quite like to sign most emails off with a love, Ange, but I know that's not appropriate.
One of my friends, business or pleasure, signs every message with lots of love.
I know, I do quite like that. And I sort of think, that's what I'm about. Mm. I'm not a kind regards kind of person. Or a best wishes kind of dick. I'm a love. I loves you. Love you, Ange.
Love you, Ange. Oh God.
I might start doing that actually.
Yeah, do it.
Yeah.
Be careful, because if you do it, I'll have to. You said you're gonna do it, and then in like 2 days' time, you're like, no, I'm a prick. I'm gonna still be signing off. Love you, Ruth.
We really went big on that one, Patty, didn't
well,
we?
Well, I think that, do you know what, that email opens up a whole load of shit. Because, I mean, look, there's loads of stuff you could do about pet peeves in that in general, isn't there?
There is pity.
No. Like, what is it that just... Okay, so what is it that just really annoys you? Not just necessarily in buzzwords.
Yeah.
What do you get? No, I'm asking you.
Oh.
No, Andrew, I'm actually asking you.
I thought you were toying that up for another chat. I didn't
even... Leave it then, let's tee it up for another one. And by toying, do you mean teeing? There ends our big question.
Dear Andrew and Ruth, Simon here again. Firstly, thanks for engaging so excellently in known chat on the podcast. It really has spurred me on to something a little brazen, some might say. Completely unbeknownst to Craig, my husband, I have made a small order of some dirty gnomes. My plan is to replace the boring ones in our garden and see if he notices. At last, gnomes I can get on board with. Keep up the good work, ladies. You really are helping the nation. Yours in dirty gnome love, Simon. P.S. Don't worry. I'll make sure he doesn't listen to this episode. Simon. I think I'm falling in love with Simon slightly.
Same.
I mean, I just love the fact that he has gone ahead and got himself some dirty fucking gnomes.
Unbeknownst to Craig. I can't wait to find out if how long it takes for Craig to
I reckon Craig's going to notice straight away, surely.
Well, it depends if he does what your suggestion was, which is like hiding them in a bush.
Yeah.
You know,
boning in a bush.
That's a mug. That's some more merch there. Literally one line, literally boning in a bush.
I mean, who doesn't love a bit of bush boning? And through the podcast, we have found a whole wreath of dirt. Is it wreath?
I don't think so. Plethora.
A whole plethora. Dirty names.
Yeah.
Why did I say wreath?
I don't know, but it's definitely not wreath. You made a dick of yourself there. That will stay in, because you very rarely get shit like that wrong. It's normally me saying, which is it, strata or straza?
Strasser is the right
way. Strasser is the correct way. No, you saying wreath then is definitely saying it. Hi, Ruth and Ange. Love the giggles you have on the podcast. It feels like I'm catching up with friends. But your aversion to pineapple on pizza has shocked me to the very core. It's a little morsel of sweet amongst the savoury to break it up, like a palate cleanser. Oh, and I love it. Anyway, you guys are fab. Thanks for the laughs.
I love that email.
Brilliant, isn't it?
I love the fact that she says it's like, or he, don't know who this is.
It was a woman. It was definitely a woman.
Woman. I love the fact that she says, like a little palate cleanser. Yes. She sounds like she'd be Nigella Lawson. Nigella Lawson, yeah. She is one hot woman. Don't you think?
Yeah. Like, she's got great baps as well.
Oh my good lord.
Yeah. She'd make a great dirty name with her baps out.
Dear Ruth and Ange, please keep me anonymous. I really like this guy at work. I'm a junior doctor and so is he. He always tries to spend time with me alone and flirts outrageously with me when no one else is around. I don't mean light flirting, I mean proper sexy stuff. Some might say filthy. He has a girlfriend, but due to his behaviour around me, I am convinced he likes me too. He also texts me a fair bit outside of work. It's driving me insane. I think about him all the time and I have it bad. What do I do? Please help. Thanks. Well, he obviously does have a girlfriend and she knows that he has a girlfriend. So that's where I'm a bit like, if there's something there and they both feel that, then he probably needs to end his relationship with his girlfriend before anything happens with her. And I think she probably has to either wait for that to just happen, or if she really thinks there's something there between them, tell him that.
You know, if it was me, I'd be taking him to one side and I'd be saying, you've got two choices.
Yeah.
You either go somewhere and you finish with your girlfriend, or you stop flirting with me, because you're not having it both ways. You're not sailing off into the sunset with your girlfriend, leaving me here, going home every night, thinking about you at home. What he's doing to you is not fair. She's potentially going home every night on her own after work, desperately waiting for him to text, thinking about him all the time, and knowing that she can't text him first because he's got a girlfriend.
Yeah, like, I totally agree.
The only person this is fair on is him, because he gets the girlfriend and he gets to have a cheeky flirt with you. And then, you know, the only person that this is suiting is him. So I think we both agreed, take him to one side, have it out with him, and make sure you let us know exactly what happens. Thanks so much for listening. As always, guys, you can find us on Instagram. I'm at Ruth Corden.
And I'm at Ange Corden.
Or alternatively, drop us an email, hello@ruthcorden.com. We'll be back next week helping you to find more of the funny. With Ruth and Ange, the fact in the